love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
That's right, I blew up his Zeppelin too. Oh, humanity.
Luro.
Dad, how can you hate the Colonel?
Because he puts an addictive chemical in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly, smart ass.
Interesting.
Cuckoo.
And Marvel 2K.
It's me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch!
What? It's me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to episode 119 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of November 11th, 2015. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Luro. Luro, how you doing this morning?
Guys, that was the worst reveal ever. Like, oh, it's Vince. That feud can continue.
Well,
yeah.
I remember listening to Dave. He said they had a bunch of things lined up, and one of which was Brett. But when that fell through and they had nothing else, they're like, oh, let's just make it Vince because we didn't have an ending in mind.
Wow. That's terrible. They, with WCW still in business, they couldn't have picked anyone up.
Well,
you know what would have been good? If it was Bischoff.
That would have been good, but I don't see, at that point, I don't see why Bischoff would have done
that. No, it wouldn't have, but that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
And he's still mad because he fired him, but then Austin got over. Oh.
It is what it is, baby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Marvel 2K, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing better than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh! Got kicked in the face. Oh!
She got exposed.
By the way, Luro, your Eagles are playing my Dolphins right now.
So. Yeah, I know. I messaged you on Facebook. I can't watch it, though. So.
It just started, like, seconds ago.
You need to get that digital box, homie.
Well, I mean, usually I put on the little radio thing online and I listen to it. Well,
there's nefarious ways to watch sports events.
Yeah, there are. But I only watch it if it's an important game, like against Cowboys. Not when we're.
Don't you have your mom stream still? Why don't you just use that?
Because I always forget. That's the problem.
Well, stop forgetting.
Right now it's because I'm doing the podcast.
That's true. Well, you can watch in the background. You can multitask. You're a smart guy.
No, I can't. I can't focus.
All right, let's move on to our first segment, lightning round. Okay, as always, you know the gimmick. We didn't set aside any books for lightning round, but the thing is, we decided there was a couple books that were really short that we really don't want to talk about all that much into detail, so we decided to bump stuff up to the lightning round. And those books would be this week, Chewbacca, Thor's, and Hawkeye, and I think, Luro, you did your review of Wolverine, right?
Yes.
I downloaded it, but I was like, eh.
It was better than a lot of the books we read this week, too.
Really? So maybe I should go back and make time for it. What exactly was the, like, what happened to the book?
X-23 is in Paris.
Okay.
Or somewhere. I don't know if she's in Paris, actually. I might just have Paris on the brain. X-23 was somewhere. And she's Wolverine now. And I'm not sure if they confirmed that Old Man Logan is different from Old Wolverine.
I think he is. I read something online that I think he's not the same Wolverine.
In this book, they show her with Wolverine training with him. Now, she's a Wolverine, so she wouldn't age the same. They could have made her older. But they mentioned that he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, Old Man Logan being a different character. Anyway, she goes to fight. She's fighting some terrorists or something. And, you know, she's got to run up the building to get them. Angel is with her. They're dating.
Yeah, they've apparently been dating since the All-New.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know this. By the way, Angel has, like, energy wings now. Is that a thing?
Wasn't he one of the characters that went into the, what was it, that, what was that thing from
the
crossover?
Yeah, went through the Black Vortex. Remember?
Yeah, he went through the Black Vortex and he never changed back, so that's why he has those energy wings.
Well, okay, he looks exactly the same, but he has weird energy wings. The person she's fighting kills it, takes the mask off, and it is X-23.
Shocker. So, if the two claws wasn't a dead giveaway.
X-23 is fighting X-23 clones.
Oh, I see.
Which is bad.
So she's like Snake in Metal Gear Solid with the Genome Soldiers.
Metal Gear! Huh?
Metal Gear, huh? X-23. Huh? Van Logan. Otacon.
Oh, man.
I keep saying I'm going to do a review entirely in that voice, but it has to be like a spy comic.
Yeah. But well, I'm still looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a new Brubaker coming out that is spy-ish.
Spy book?
There you go.
That'll be good.
I saw something about it in one of the back, you know, like they have the little previews on the back of some of those issues.
That is his wheelhouse, as they say. Isn't our wrestling comic next month?
No, it's this month. It's in, not this week, but next week.
Ooh.
Awesome. All right, let's move on to our next book, which is Chewbacca, which we've already talked about at length in other reviews.
Wookie.
What's that?
It's a song.
I've never heard of it. What's it called?
Chewbacca. What a Wookie.
Marvel, look that up.
It's in the movie,
it's Clerks.
Okay. I'll be sure to look it up later then.
You should have had that queued up and ready. Yeah, this,
I've never heard
of it.
I'm not
reading this book anymore.
This is 3 of 5. I'm not reading it anymore. I don't care. The mine blew up in the last issue. They're still alive. He helped clear, you know, help the miners get out. Him and the girl go to the spaceport repair ship, and the one mine boss is in contact with the Empire, and they're headed to the planet. That's it.
The art in this is fine, and the story itself is fine. It's just I don't care. It's Chewbacca. He can't talk.
He doesn't talk, and they don't think enough to put subtitles for him.
No, they don't do that on purpose, but I find it very hard to care about a character who can't speak. So, you know, I understand why they made the choice.
Sorry, I'm just taking in the high comedy of that motorcycle going by.
I'm back inside now.
Okay, awesome. But yeah, just another Chewbacca book. I mean, they're clearly trying to pad out a couple issues so they can, you know, make the graphic novel. But still, I'm glad you guys decided to throw in the towel because I really don't want to read this book anymore. I mean, I don't. It's always so short that I can't sit there and complain about it. But it's like at the same time, it feels like a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Thors.
In this issue. The Thors learned the truth about Beta Ray Bill's killer. It was Rune Thor who killed him. And Jane Foster as the, you know, 616 Jane Foster Thor reveals to them that Doom is not the one true god of the world and that he created this world and there used to be another world. And so she rallied them all against Doom's people at Doomstadt. And then the book ends with Doom World ending and then Ultimate Thor's hammer lands on Asgard.
That's it. God.
Interesting.
Ultimate Thor is like my least favorite Thor.
He was a hippie Thor.
I know. Well, obviously, you know why he's my least favorite Thor.
Well, maybe, you know, here's the thing I can think of what might happen. Maybe Ultimate Thor doesn't show up, but that's how Odinson gets his hammer back. Or gets a hammer back.
Well, he had the chance to pick it up and he didn't.
Yeah. Remember he just walked by. He's like, there'll be another time.
Yeah, that was a thing. They made sure to show that.
Okay, true that.
Besides, that's not the real Thor hammer. It's got an axe on it.
Hey, he can't be picky. He didn't mind picking up that evil Thor's hammer.
Hey,
he was unworthy.
When he gets his hammer back, he better get his hammer back from Jane Foster because she's going to die of cancer.
All right, next book, Hawkeye. Great book, but not really much to talk about, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't like the time skipping in this. I didn't.
Yeah, it threw me for a loop. I'm like, who's this old guy hanging out with Kate?
And why is Kate so old? I talked to Marvel about this at length. The art made her look like we determined she's probably about what, like 38, 39,
she
maybe
was,
40.
She's 40 because she was 20 when Young Avengers. So she's at most 41, maybe 42.
Yeah, in the art, which the future art was really scratchy anyway. So that might be why. She looked to be about 58, which kind of bothered me.
Yeah, she left Hawkeye after the events of the, you know, they called them the Children of the Corn after they gave him up. Mm-hmm. She went on to form her own, like, little superhero, I guess,
a very impressive one.
Yeah, she's like Batman with, like, freaking a bunch of...
sidekicks.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like... like the new Avengers, you know, with they have the R&D and all that, except mm-hmm. It's one person.
Okay, sounds legit.
So, yeah, in the future, apparently the Mandarin has taken over China.
And has a stupid outfit.
He has like a complete head to toe like white suit, but then
it's white, and then he's got a goofy tie. Like, yeah. He looks like Arcade.
Pretty much. And like it's like checkerboard, but every single checkerboard is like a different color.
And apparently he's got the kids and he's using them to take over China. So Kate recruits Hawkeye, who hadn't been doing shit in 20 years, to go and go in there and rescue the kids.
Huh. Go figure.
That was pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because up until now it's been a really good book, but I'll give it a few more issues for it to pick up again, because up until this point it's been a solid book.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I still think it was good. It's just I don't want to see future stuff.
Feels like they're dragging their feet on this one too, because this is continued from. Because remember, this is how the last. Remember, this renumbered. This is how it ended in the last volume.
Yes, much like many of the other books that are continuations, the number one was entirely pointless. we've been over that.
And with the exception that they had to stick in, for folks who haven't been reading. It's like, this has been happening in Hawkeye. Now you're all caught up, and the book's over.
Yeah, Howard the Duck got a new hat. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, but that was really good though. Like that was one of those instances where they made it work to their advantage.
They made fun of it.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Hickman.
I remember there's this one issue. I forgot what book it was. Where it's obviously Hickman and he's dressed up as Captain Universe and he's like, "Yeah, that's right. It's all my fault."
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember what that was in, but it was funny.
It was one of those things where he was being, there was a, from the inside of a, I think it was an Ultimates book, where they showed him, he's being hauled away like a crazy lunatic in a, what's called police station.
Yeah, that was like, that was one of the Ultimate books. I don't know if it was, Ultimate Spider-Man or that other Ultimate.
It must have been Ultimate Spider-Man because we actually read it. And at that point we had not read any Ultimates book besides that one.
Hmm.
Interesting. All right, with that all the way, let's go into this week's books. Yeah!
What the hell was that?
That is Baby Metal with their.
Oh, I knew that's what it was as soon as I heard the Japanese.
it's a bunch of like they must be like 13-year-old Japanese girls, and they decided to stick them up with a metal band.
It's the gayest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And that's their hit smash hit, "Gimme Chocolate."
Oh my god! Whatever.
Are we gonna have to revoke my music picking privileges?
Well. No, but it's just, I just want people to know I don't support that.
I thought it was wacky enough. I thought it was fitting of our show. At least me and Marvel probably are cool with it.
I don't know about that, dude.
leaving me out here in the cold. Okay.
Don't dump me into that.
Hey, you know what we forgot to do? I think it's been like 2 weeks now since we've had this and we completely keep forgetting about it. Like we'll talk to each other and, But the thing is, our buddy, remember way back when our buddy Chris hooked us up with the first two volumes of Why the Last Man?
Yes.
Well, apparently he's hooked us up with another graphic novel, right?
Yes, Lock and Key, Volume 1.
Nice! So keep your eyes open for that. We're going to be doing a giveaway probably, what? Is it too late to try to do this month, or should we try bump it up to next month?
Well, I mean, we can start planning it for after this show and then... give it away in December.
Yeah, for those of you who've been listening to the show, we still have the plan of giving away the entire Hickman run on Fantastic Four, but I'm waiting for that Secret Wars thing to at least be close to the end. I mean, we're on issue 7, so maybe around issue 8 or 9. Specifically 9, I want to try to do the giveaway. So maybe in the meantime, we can do the Lock and Key giveaway.
Yeah, well, at the earliest, you can give away the Hickman run in January.
So just so you know, those of you who are listening at home, we have not forgot about our giveaways that we had planned. And Chris, sorry, bro, we keep forgetting, but now I remembered, and we are going to do our giveaway, and thanks again for hooking us up with all these great graphic novels to give away. He always has the good stuff. I don't understand how he has all these extra copies of books to just give away.
I don't know. I think
maybe he steals from a bookstore.
He steals from Daz's store?
from Daz's store. It's all connected.
Alright. Let's move on to this week's books, which include Slash and Burn 1, Descender 7, Goddamned 1, Walking Dead 148, All New, All Different Avengers 1, Captain America White 4, Carnage 1, Darth Vader 12, Illuminati 1, Secret Wars 7, Spider-Gwen 2, Spider-Man 2099 3, Squadron Sinister 4, Ultimates 1, Uncanny Avengers 2, Web Warriors 2, actually it's Web Warriors 1, my mistake, and Imperium number 10.
A lot of books. Yay, comics.
Yep. A good haul of comic books. Couple of mediocre books, but nothing too offensive. All
right. That sounds right.
Let's move on to our first book, Slash and Burn number 1, writer C. Spencer, art by Max Dunbar.
This was not what I expected it to be.
No, it wasn't.
I thought when I read this was going to be about firefighters. And I thought, okay.
And I'm looking at the cover right now. It's got a firefighter on the cover.
Yeah, it's actually about a firefighter, a female, who is also a pyromaniac. And by the way, I didn't realize that pyromaniacs literally get off on fire. But I found that out in this book.
Apparently, they tease that she burned down some shit at her orphanage when she was a kid.
Who was the artist on this book?
Oh, I'm not sure. Batman, don't you got shit up?
Oh, what were we asking for the artist?
Yeah.
Okay, let me look it up real quick. Sorry. Damn it, I don't want to go to WWE.com. Hold on. I was going to be moving on to the next book. Let's see. It's a DC book.
I thought this was, for a second, I thought this was Nick Spencer writing, but it's not. It's some other Spencer.
Yeah, it's C. Spencer. Let's see. Stall for me for a little bit while I look this up real quick.
Okay, well, Marvel, do you have notes?
Yeah. Her name is a North Dakotan firefighter by the name of Roisin Hayes. And, you know, it starts off answering a call to put out a fire at a strange, at a storage locker in the middle of the night. And there she discovers a body amongst the smoke and ash. And, she's kind of like a detective at the same time. It's just, cause I think a lot of it has to do with she can smell the smoke and ash.
Whoa, what's going on back there?
What?
I'm hearing a lot of wind. Are you right in front of the air conditioner?
I'm sorry, that's me. I had to run outside real quick.
Okay, my mistake. I'm just pointing it out to our listeners so they don't think they're going crazy.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, she, because of her pyromaniac, ways, she's able to deduce what's burning and where is it coming from. And, you know, she's investigating the murder but she found this stuffed animal and she's like, oh, there's weed in here.
Oh god, they made so many jokes about that walrus. That was so funny. And that was why I wanted to put over the artist. Because there was this really cute thing of like, there's a dead body there, and then there's this burned storage unit, but then there's this giant pink walrus just sitting there, and they kept showing it, and everybody's making comments and jokes about it. And then they cut it open and found all the weed and figured out, you know, what happened there.
Yeah. So it's her and another detective who they put on the case, and they gotta solve, they're basically in the investigation to solve the murder. She also has a partner who got shot, but she got better. She wasn't bad. But they showed her backstory. She was an orphan, and she met some homeless guy who was apparently one of the people at the orphanage.
Tinker.
Yeah.
Who they mentioned in one of the flashbacks, but we didn't see anything about it.
I think they did show him. They showed him as a kid.
Did they? Oh, okay. I thought they didn't show him. I thought they just talked about him.
Yeah, they showed him. They remember they were introducing themselves?
Well, yeah, but he's homeless, and it has, there's something involving a, matchstick man.
Yes.
Which may be, some sort of supernatural thing.
Maybe. We're not sure. She was burning some matchstick looking, guy, or she was like a little ritual in her bed or something.
Well, it wasn't a, okay, what she did was she made the little matchstick guy, she burned it. She put it directly on her crotch. And burning this thing apparently gave her pleasure, which is what the art indicated. Which is why I mentioned the thing about, I didn't know pyromaniacs actually got off on fire. Because that's what she was very clearly doing.
To each their own.
That was weird, but you know, it's vertigo.
You're charging your thing. Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, sorry. I liked this.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery, murder mystery book.
Yeah, this is one where, the other ones, like, we read Art Ops, and I said, you know, I see how this book could go on for a really long time. I don't see how this book could go on for a really long time.
Because once you solve the murder, then what?
Yeah, and how often are you going to deal with, even if they add the supernatural stuff, how often are you going to deal with a crazy pyromaniac firewoman? Like, where else do you go with that story?
Yeah.
There's enough to get it maybe 8, 12 issues, but after that, I'm not sure what they do. Having said that, I want to read the next issue. You know, I like this more than The Following or whatever that was called.
Unfollow.
Unfollow, yeah.
Unfollowed, yeah. I'm liking the new Vertigo lineup.
It's not great. They're knocking it out of the park, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't hated a book yet.
No, none of them have been particularly bad, but then you think with all the other publishers that are out there, Valiant and Image, it's like, well, it's not that good.
I don't know. I still think Art Ops and Clean Room are really good.
I think Clean Room for me was my favorite so far of these. How many more of these do we got left?
I thought there was 5. So what, 4? We got one more to go.
I think there's 2 more.
Okay.
There's the Iraq one and there's the Milligan one.
Ah, okay.
Which we haven't got yet, so.
And I got the artist pulled up. It's Max Dunbar.
He's good.
Yeah. Is that what you were asking, or were you asking the writer again?
Yeah. No, I was asking for the artist because I like the art a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good. Like this book. We'll read it again.
Okay, another artist I particularly much care for is Dustin Nguyen in this week's Descender number 7.
That would be Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, he's very good. I know he did stuff on Little Gotham. I think they stopped publishing that because I was trying to pick up an issue a while back, and I don't think they do that anymore. So I think he's primarily focused on this series, which, I mean, God bless Little Gotham, but this is significantly better.
What was this book again?
Descender.
You fool.
Oh, yeah. yeah, this is good. I don't know. I think the story needs to move a little faster at this point.
Well, they gave a reveal at the end, at least in this, that hooked you. Because remember, there's other stuff going on. When this book went on hiatus, remember, there's a third party going on that's involved with the United Galactic Council. You know, they're infiltrating. There's a lot of things going on at once. It's just they're taking their time.
So it did take time off because I felt like it's been a while since I read this. And I was like, is that just me? Because we read so many books. Or, okay, now they've confirmed that they actually took some time off. So, because there were a couple storylines, I'm like, wait, what's going on? I'm confused.
They took time off for the trade.
Ah, okay.
It took like 2 months, I think.
Okay, so it's not just my imagination.
No.
Okay. Well, I have to imagine they're going to pick up, so it's going to be easier to get more emotionally invested in the story going forward.
Yeah. The story begins with a new mysterious character who's tracking down several robots for a scrapper bounty. And meanwhile, the story shifts to Tim 21 and the gang, who are in the process of being rescued by Sias and the Hardwire, plus Tim 21's sociopath of a brother, Tim 22.
Oh, is it fair to call him a sociopath since he's a robot?
I know.
Well, Tim's a robot.
Yeah, but Tim's the exception, not the rule.
Well, he has a emotion chip or whatever. Although that maybe the fact that he has emotions is why everybody thinks he's so special.
Well, yeah. All I know is that the robots were trying to get him back. So as we follow him off the planet and into the new danger of the Hardwire, because you know that's where they're headed. Because remember, they killed that one guy from the planet, and so now big shit's gonna go down because he was like the king of the planet or some shit. That one alien, and but you know they flew off. Although Tim 21's robot buddies were left behind, unfortunately. He's like, Drew! What was
it? Oh, that was cute.
I like that part in the book. He's like, Driller! Whatever his name was. And so, you know, we get another peek into, you know, his past, coming back to haunt him and everyone in his story. Because it's revealed that the bounty hunter we are introduced to is actually Andy. He's actually alive, the brother.
Like, you didn't see that coming.
So, I didn't even put 2 and 2 together, to be
really?
Honest.
Really?
I don't know why. Maybe I just wasn't thinking too hard about it.
I thought, as soon as they started talking about Andy, I'm like, oh, he's that bounty hunter from the start.
I don't know. Maybe it was, like, one of those things I just didn't think hard about. It was like, I don't know. I just read it. I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, back, you know, when I look back, I was like, oh, yeah, it makes sense now. But It's just, for whatever reason, I wasn't putting two and two together. But yeah, this is a good book. I liked it.
As did I. All right. Next book, Goddamn Number One, writer Jason Aaron, art by R.M. Guerrera.
Jason Aaron is doing a Bible story.
Here's what I've been trying to pull up. I tried to find the clip of, because as I was reading it, I was like, that's gotta be Cain!
Yeah, you knew it was Cain from the start. The main character of this book is the biblical Cain.
Yes.
Not the pro wrestler or the MMA fighter or anybody else you can think of with the name Cain.
No, well, he didn't look like the pro wrestler or the MMA fighter.
It's at this time I wish Jack had his own Cain, if you know what I mean. No,
I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm trying to get him to stop. He's being a... We're doing the show Sunday morning, so...
Yeah.
This happens.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the Cain from the biblical story, and this is after he kills Abel.
Earth is all 1600 years after.
Yeah. And the earth looks like shit.
He's the basic plot of the book is he's wandering around trying to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get
God made it so nobody could kill him. So he's trying to get killed, but he can't die. And he's not really a good guy because he's only focused on getting himself killed.
Exactly.
But he's not really a bad guy because everybody else is bad. Although he ends up with Noah at the end of the issue.
So, Noah looking weird.
I mean,
there,
he ain't gonna kill Noah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we already know that.
It could be a different story, Marvel. You never know.
Spoilers.
he's rewriting the Bible. It's a Elseworlds Bible tale.
I like it.
There was a lot of cursing in this book for biblical times.
Well,
he was already damned, though.
It's not really written as if it was old timey. So he runs into the bone boys or whatever they were called, which are like, yeah, they're basically slightly evolved Cro-Magnon guys.
Mm-hmm.
They talk like cavemen. He just talks like a normal person. So the only thing I consume is Aaron's like, do we want to give this some kind of accent thing? And whoever he's working with is just like, nah, just write him like a normal person. Nobody cares. That's what he did.
Yeah, because it doesn't come off as like old-timey Bible-y, but it looks like a post-apocalyptic book.
Well, the world was shit back then.
Yeah.
It was about to get flooded, yo.
Yeah, and there was, I think the book even opens up with him trying to kill himself. Like, he was face down in a puddle for like 20 minutes. And some kid came up to him and he's like, how are you still alive?
Well, he got killed by those people.
Oh, okay.
Well, he got killed. He got his throat slit and he got stabbed up. And then they threw him in their lake of shit.
Which they kept referencing to in this book.
Yeah, but he woke back up. And then he went and killed all of them. And, you know, they made it very clear he can't die. They showed him getting stabbed and stuff. This is going to be a very action-heavy book, I think.
Well, yeah, there was barely any dialogue.
Yeah, there's not a lot of talking in this book. Your big reveal at the end was like, oh, it's Noah, who might be, like, kidnapping people.
Work on the Ark or something?
Either to work on the Ark or also to ask them if they have any animals. Because he has to save two of every animal. Well, which was like,
couldn't that be his family? Or would it be too many people right there?
All those people?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the Bible says how many people he had on the ark. Mm-hmm. It was his kids' wives or his kids' husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there weren't that many of them.
He was a fool, remember?
Yeah, they were wearing armor too, the guys he had.
Okay, so maybe it could just be somebody else. But then again, they brought up his occupation. This could have been before him building the
No, because they showed the boat in the background.
Okay. Maybe this could have been post-Ark.
Yeah, the Ark was there. I don't know if it was finished, but the Ark was there. And he asked, when they brought him in, they brought that kid in. He asked about animals.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, it's... I mean, we don't know where this story is going. Cain isn't exactly discussed a whole lot in the Bible.
No, they just put that he was cursed. He was forced to live his life by himself, apart from his parents. But they didn't
he got married and had kids, mm-hmm. and he started a city. That hasn't happened yet in this story, apparently. But where, actually, that might have happened, because if we're to Noah, that would have been after that. I don't know.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book, Walking Dead 148, writer Robert Kirkman, art by Charlie Adlard.
Is Marvel there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. This was a very slow issue that was padding until Kirkman can go take a break.
Yeah, because 150 is going to be the big issue.
Yeah, and get somebody else to come write the book.
Oh, is that when Vaughn's going to come in or no?
He comes after 150, doesn't he?
That's got to be after 150. I don't know how soon after. It might be immediately after.
150 is going to be a big issue. I mean, something did happen in this in the end. It's basically Rick is in front of a meeting of all the peoples. Maggie's there too. Discussing what they should do, and they're all screaming about, oh, we need to go kill them for what they did. They killed our people. We need to kill them.
Oh, by the way, it's not – I'm looking at issue 151. It's still Kirkman. They had the – yeah.
Well, he's got to finish out this story with the Whisperers.
Well, the thing is it's going to be a six-part – I guess there's a six-part arc after this one. I think after that one he probably –
The Whisperers War. Well, anyway, all the people end up fighting. Jesus, of course, is a badass, just taking guys out with back elbows and spinning back fists and shit, because he does spinning shit.
He does the MMA. And,
well, he's the toughest guy in the.
Oh,
Jesus in this book is Gay Daryl from the comic. He's the closest we got.
Well, that's with the spinning back fist. I can see why Vitor would make reference to him constantly.
Jesus?
Yes.
They should have called him Jesus. No, but they have a big fight, and then, you know, the fight finally stops, and Rick tells everyone to go home. And then he goes to Negan and tells him he needs his help.
This is like freaking McMahon when he threw it at the NWO. Remember you?
They should have actually had Rick with Negan written on the back of his chair.
Me and the NWO.
I'm going to poison Alexandria.
If anyone's going to kill my creation.
That would be so funny if it turned out Rick was Vince McMahon.
They showed some stuff with Alpha, too, where she was crying over her daughter, and one of the guys sees her, and he's like, oh, you know, it's okay. Don't worry, I won't tell no one.
Yeah, so she slashes his throat.
And she's like, he's like, oh, you're trying to challenge me.
Yeah, because weakness is not tolerated in creepy zombie skin wearing people.
Good. I mean,
but she did cry, which the whole point of that was to show she is in fact human, and this whole we're animals thing is bullshit. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, you can't undo thousands of years of human development in 10 years.
You could try.
That is impossible. Well, you could try. What she needs to do is just recruit a bunch of the sociopaths who seem to be filling the world.
Yeah, like,
because you see, sociopaths would survive the apocalypse.
Oh, damn it. We gotta hang around with Coughlin post apocalypse.
Yeah, oh, he'll be there.
Hey, it's the link that I gave you.
Should I click it?
Yeah, click it. It's funny.
It's a dirty picture. Should I push this in the show description? Is that kind of?
It's not. It's nothing important.
Okay. Just something to help crack us up while we do the show.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing Walking Dead? Was that it?
Yeah, that was all that happened. They got in a fight and he went to get Negan.
Okay. Yeah, he's like, I need you.
Okay, cool. All new, all different Avengers, number one, writer Mark Waid, art by Adam Kubert.
I like this, but I have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. He's doing a team building comic. But half of this comic.
Okay. Okay. Just to interrupt you for a second. I just saw what Marvel said.
Have
you clicked on it? Do you want me to tell you what it is? Describe it to our listening audience, or we can just continue with the
review? He's outside, obviously, because of all the fucking wind.
Well, and also all of our listeners, you know, they can't, you know, unless I post in the description, they can't know what we're talking about.
They can't see. Much like me going outside, this is bad for radio.
Okay, let me describe it very quickly, and then we'll go back to our review. It's a picture of Ronda Rousey knocked out, and on the top it says, calls out Floyd, and underneath it says, gets knocked out by a female boxer.
Aww. Yeah, I saw a lot of that, actually. The whole, yeah, she could beat a man. Nobody actually thought she could beat Floyd Mayweather.
Well, not in boxing. I don't know.
No, not in boxing, but in a fight, eh, maybe.
Well, you know what? She goes to take him down. He punches her in the head once, and she loses. That's what would have happened.
The thing is, if he has no takedown defense, then he probably could get beat.
He's really quick.
Yeah, he's quick. That's the thing. So is Holly Holm, but Holly Holm had takedown defense in this.
Now, she's been training MMA for years now, and if they were to do a fight, I don't think no one's throwing the caveat. Well, Mayweather has to have 2-3 years to practice the takedown.
Well, in 2-3 years, he'd be like 50, wouldn't he? Isn't he getting old?
Yeah.
He's almost 40, I think.
Hey, he'd still beat her. Okay, so anyway, this book was split into two. Half of it was Nova meeting Miss Marvel. And since they are both around the same age and superheroes, he, of course, has a huge crush on her.
Aww.
And she is not into him. She thinks he's kind of derpy.
And like an idiot, he fucking revealed his secret identity.
Yeah, he first meets her and reveals a secret identity like 5 minutes later, and she's all uncomfortable with this. She's like, I ain't gonna take my mask off. I don't know what he's doing.
But she's just as awkward too, right? Like, they show her inner monologue, and she's like, oh, what do I do?
Well, yeah, she is, but she's presenting herself better than he is. So she's got the same stuff. Also, he's into like, oh, I want to bang this girl. So he's, and she's not interested in him at all. So Wade got that right, at least. Yeah, he takes his mask off. He's like, oh, I'm Sam. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you who I am.
I think what she said specifically was, I don't remember asking you what your name was.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, well, I was lying about that Sam thing. That's not really my name anyway. I like that the kid heroes, he actually portrays them as kids of that age.
Yeah, that's going to be the strength of this book. Wade knows how to write, you know, characters with different voices, and he knows how to write specific, you know, age groups. So it's going to be a fun book because Wade is, in fact, a very good writer, and he knows, like, and I don't know if he's going to write good stories, but he's very good with his character work.
I don't remember what happened in the first part of the story.
The first part was, it shows, like, Captain America Falcon guy. He saves a bunch of people from their falling cars. They're on a bridge.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. I remember this now. And when he lands, there are Girl Scout cookies there. And they're trying to sell him Girl Scout cookies. And there's a black one and a white one.
Yeah.
And he's, like, looking back and forth between them because he knows people are filming him.
And he's got $5, so he only has enough for one box.
Yeah, and someone's like, oh, I wonder which one he's going to pick. And he's standing there, and he can't decide what he should do.
And Tony's and there behind him. He's like, Tony, help me up. You got some money? And he shows him his empty wallet.
Yeah, and then he goes, who wants a picture with Iron Man? And then they're all like, yay. And Iron Man's like, yeah, good save.
I think someone comments, I wonder which one he was going to pick. Wink.
Yeah. That was really funny. So here's what's good about this book. He's building the team. And if he keeps doing the split like this, we'll get in an issue. If he keeps doing this, we'll have the team members interacting with each other to get to the buildup of the team. So instead of just doing one person gathers a team together, we're actually getting relationships between the team members before they're even officially a team.
Yeah,
like that. I haven't seen that.
The team is going to form organically. They even mention in this book how there's no mainline Avengers team. They bring up the fact that, yes, Steve is headlining the Unity team, and you have
no, apparently they have no funding, really.
Yeah, we're told the only team with money is the new Avengers.
Yes, because old boy's rich.
Yeah.
Fucking Uncanny, they have like freaking, they're doing what's that shit called? Where you fundraise online?
GoFundMe?
Well, they said they were supported by Deadpool's merch.
Yeah.
Which is just a funny real life connection thing there. No, but I like this. It's not a team book yet.
Tony apparently has lost a lot of his fortune.
He's spending it on something.
Yeah, he's not as rich as he used to be.
There was a line of dialogue where, you know, they mentioned the Gillian run where he was out in space. So he's like, well, when I was out running in space, nobody was running my company, so we went straight
Pepper
into the ground.
Pepper was running his company.
Yeah, it was Pepper.
A little bit of sexism from Wade. Apparently women can't run a company.
She was doing good, though, because when he was evil Tony, she was out playing him.
Maybe when he became evil Tony, he, didn't he give the company to her or some shit?
Well, she was, I don't know if he gave it to her, but she was running it.
Like the majority of it or some shit. Remember, she was working against him.
Yeah, I think.
And he was creating, remember he became evil and he created his app where like, he
well, could make, yeah. No, just my point was someone was running his company when he was gone.
Yeah. So. But I seem to remember he kind of gave it to her, like the majority of it, and he probably got the board of directors probably kicked him out, like Steve Jobs or some shit.
Well, Pepper doesn't exist in the current Iron Man comic, so.
We don't know that because they just haven't shown her.
We haven't seen her.
Maybe she's still running that company, that portion of the company. We just haven't seen her. Yeah, but you know, he's still got a flying car. Back at the Avengers Tower, an unidentified villain summons a Chitauri for an evil plan. And Miles, who was just hanging around, interrupts their meeting.
That was the only downside of the book, not Miles, but it's like, oh, they're going to be fighting the Chitauri.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, well, man, I hope it gets good. And they alluded that there was a villain from the Nova run. I don't remember ever reading about a Chitauri villain that was thrown into the sun.
Yeah, remember in the one of the last issues of Nova? Actually, it might have been the annual. Remember there was an evil Chitauri guy he threw into the sun?
I don't remember. Yeah, it's been that long.
Yeah, he was from that Nova run.
So well, they brought him back, and that appears to be the villain going forward. Yeah, not the strongest, you know.
Well, if it's a team collection building book, and that's the first villain, you know, I'm sure
they'll
move on.
That does make sense. He can ratchet it up because they're not a team yet.
But they specifically mentioned in this first issue, this new Chitauri villain was able to single-handedly take out Miles.
Well,
He's not new.
Oh,
well, he's new in the sense that most people didn't know existed.
But there is a guy who's in the shadows, who's unidentified, who's putting together shit, so we'll see. There might be a higher power.
Nice, Marvel.
I trust Wade. We're getting Wade in this because it's strong character development. He's good at that, and that's what we're getting right now.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to this book. If anything, I'm interested in the development of the team and then just the way he writes every single character. Story and... All right, next book, Captain America White, number 4, writer Jeff Loeb, art by Tim Sale.
This is the second last issue, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a limited five issue series.
Yeah. Let's see where I'm looking at my notes here. Where the fuck are my notes? Well, I know, okay. So they're in Paris, France. Oh, and by the way, I guess we probably should mention something about that since that happened this weekend. We do have a listener from France who's from Paris.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, Lincorius.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God. I'm bad. Well, sorry, Lincorius.
From what I understand, he's all right. Cause, someone said
he was posting.
Was he, like, recent? Because remember, he left the board for a few weeks or something, but I don't know if he came back.
Oh, I thought he posted some.
I don't know. Well, from what I understand, he's all right. So. But,
yes, our thoughts and prayers go out to Lincorius and all the people of France.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this issue. So they discover the Red Skull and Von Strucker. They're cowering the populace into obedience, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're plotting, you know, who knows what. And Cap comes into direct conflict with the leader of the French Resistance, Marilyn, as the two cannot come to an agreement initially on how to best unseat the Nazis. Because, you know, he was about to just rush in there and try to fight them. Someone mentioned this about Captain America.
No.
I saw criticism of this. Why did Loeb, if Captain America is this great military tactician, he would never just jump in there when he's surrounded and outnumbered?
Well, okay. Great military tactician, yes, but he's still a human being who feels emotion.
Yeah, he even brings up in the fact in the story, he's like, oh, I want to, you know, all these military strategies, but above all else, I have to make sure Bucky doesn't die.
Yeah, because they've been pushing that heavily in this entire series, his connection to Bucky. So he cares more about Bucky than he cares about the mission. Kind of. I guess it's bad to say it like that when you're talking about Cap, but he cares a lot about Bucky. Even though Bucky was sneaking outside the room with another guy trying to catch Cap tossing it in to the gypsy.
Oh,
woman,
yeah.
Which is a funny scene. And then Cap goes to open the door and he smacks him in the eye and gives him a black eye.
And what does he say when he refers to him as first name?
James?
Like, yeah. So you've James. Never called me James before.
Well, he's mad because he's trying to, you know.
Hey, Bucky likes to watch her, right? Don't judge.
Or he's a C blocker. Actually, it didn't look like Cap was going to do anything.
Oh, no, it didn't really.
So.
But was that sexual tension they had? And you got the feeling if they had another minute that something would have gone down.
Why? Because she's French?
No, because it was just like that sexual tension that they had. Like, she hates him, but she hates him because she cares.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, they got a tip from, they said from somebody on the inside that they're going to loot the Louvre full of, you know, they're going to loot all the paintings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they go there to try to stop them, but apparently it was a trap. One of the French guys is a traitor. So, you know, they were met by Strucker. And then meanwhile, Bucky, because, you know, he felt bad, you know, bad about what Cap was saying and this and that. He went after Red Skull, who's actually about to blow up the Eiffel Tower. So Cap is on his way, and that's where it leaves off.
Which in retrospect, yeah.
Well, in the beginning, Red Skull's giving this speech about how, you know, Paris, the most beautiful city in the world. Well, after we rebuild Berlin, it'll be nothing. But I'm not going to do anything to France and blah, 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 blah. And Fury's there and he's like, you know, the fact that he just said he wasn't going to do anything to France pretty much means he's going to destroy France. Which is, you know, because he's a pro wrestling heel and whatever he says is a lie.
He needs a mustache now. That's all he needs.
Yeah, Cap really should have sworn that he would stop the Red Skull and then he would have had to.
He should guarantee.
Yeah, or people would have lost faith in him and he wouldn't draw anymore. Like John Cena after he lost.
Only on Comic Curve Chainsaw will you get this kind of analysis.
Well,
I can't wait for the wrestling book to come out.
We're gonna be so hard on that book too.
I know. Here's the thing: most people are gonna be pro wrestling fans, and they're gonna read the book and think it's pretty good, all things considered. And we're gonna be like, they got that wrong. This is not how pro wrestling is. Wrestling Observer newsletter subscriber. We're gonna call Dave.
We read the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Excuse me.
There were inaccuracies in this flat.
Your attendance numbers were off by 200.
He would not allow him to do the brain buster. It's a dangerous move. He caused damage about the head and neck. I am a nerd.
What were we talking about? Were we done with Cap?
I think we were kind of done because he didn't. Here's the thing. He's not gonna stop Red Skull. He doesn't win.
And Bucky does in fact die. Well, quote unquote die.
Yeah, but Bucky dies later. Bucky doesn't die in France.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's move on to our next book. Carnage number one. Writer Jerry Conway. Art by Mike Perkins.
Yeah, I didn't read this.
I said I wasn't gonna read it,
and I, for whatever reason why, I decided to read it, and I'm glad I did. I love this book.
Well, I said, you might have read me, cause I read it, and I said I kinda liked it.
I didn't think
it was great. Fat Man actually ended up liking this a lot more than me. Carnage is not a hero in this, which I thought he had made some sort of face.
Yeah, I thought they did something with the, whatever wave, where he was still supposed to be a good guy.
During Axis, but that all got... Well, he died.
Yeah, that's... No, but remember he showed up at the end, but he was still sort of a good guy? Remember he was the one that said, oh, the reason why the superheroes were acting bad was because we did it, when in fact, you know, everybody knew it was because what happened with the superheroes, and they were in fact acting like that on their own, but Carnage, who was still sort of a good guy, said, no, we did it, that's the reason why they were acting like bad guys.
Well, Secret Wars. So
he's
a bad guy again, and he's hanging out in the South somewhere in a diner, and a news story comes on, and the news story says his name wrong and then talks about his first mass killing, which I believe they said was before he was Carnage. The one person who survived, and now she's like a hero cop and stuff. So he gets super pissed. He kills everyone in the diner and he's going to find her because he says, I have to kill her. That is unfinished business.
She's the one that got away.
Yeah, so meanwhile, it turns out they did all this on purpose. The news story was
that
plant.
Noise?
I don't have any idea what that is.
Okay,
well.
Oh,
that was trying to call me.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So the news story was a plant. They wanted to bring her up and make her look heroic. The fact that they mentioned said his name wrong was on purpose because he's a serial killer, so he has a huge ego. And it got him to come to where they were. And they were set up in a abandoned mine. And they had the sonic cannons ready. Didn't really explain, like now was the time to finally get Carnage.
No, but it was just one of those things. It was a loose end that they eventually wanted to tie up because he was out there bebopping around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things to where there's tons of supervillains out there. So you can't just like go all at them at once. You gotta pick your spots. And Carnage is one of the top tier in the sense that he's the most dangerous.
Okay. Well, so they're using her as bait to draw him in. We've also got, J. Jonah Jameson's son.
Mm-hmm.
What is he? Captain Jameson.
Yeah, I forget the name because the really person that's important on the team for me anyway is they have Eddie Brock on that team.
Well, Eddie Brock is like a side character because he has another symbiote and they apparently attach something. Now, this could be where this book goes in the future, by the way. They have something attached to him wherein if he does bad, they can turn the symbiote off. But if he does good, they let the symbiote stay on.
I believe the symbiote's called Toxic. It's supposed to be Venom's grandson or the Venom symbiote's grandson.
Yeah, it's okay. So Carnage came from Venom and Toxic, which is such a fucking 90s name.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't even think he came from the 90s. He is from Carnage.
Correct.
So, and they don't know about, you know, Venom getting fixed and all that. So.
Make him sound like a dog. We went into the vet and got fixed.
Yeah, well, they cut his balls off. That's certainly
well,
true.
Initially, the government got it under control, but then we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy, they started acting up, but they went to the symbiote homeworld, and it pretty much got chilled out.
He got fixed because the symbiote was messed up because it was disconnected from the hive. The
symbiote went to therapy.
That doesn't matter to this, though. The whole thing is Eddie Brock is there, and he wants to go fight Carnage, and they won't let him. He's like the backup plan. But what happens is they get Carnage in, they fire the sonic cannons. It does hurt him, but it also collapses the top part of the mine.
Mm-hmm.
So Carnage then falls into the mine. Presumably getting away from the sonic cannons means he has a symbiote back, and Colonel Jameson has decided, oh, I'll be the one to go down and find him. Why in the name of God normal human being?
Okay. Part of the reason why is because a lot of the people that were on the strike force are down there with Carnage. They even bring up in a line of dialogue that, like, if it wasn't for the people that were down there, we would just let Carnage stay there.
Wait. Marvel, is Jameson's son still a werewolf?
I don't know. Let me investigate this.
And Laura, you might want to get a little closer to your receiver.
Oh, sorry. If he is, in fact, still a werewolf, I sort of understand why they would send him. It was at night.
I was under the impression that there was more of the team still that hadn't fallen through the sinkhole.
Somebody else might have fallen down with him. That one.
Okay, it's getting worse, Lura.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Fucking shite, man.
Well, now Marvel has the leg to talk on because now he has a nice microphone now.
And we got freaking wind.
We have Mr. Todd Martin with his wind tunnel.
You know, you spend more time talking about it than
actually spend that. Okay, going back to what we were talking about, Discord. Let's go back to this very quickly, try to wrap this review up.
That was the end, because we don't know. They went down to get him, and then the issue ended.
Yeah, I like this book in the sense that it seems like they're building it up like a horror book. Like, it's them very, you know, they're very low on supplies. They have very few weapons and ammunition, and they're going down to save these people. And they have Carnage looming in the background. Eventually, at some point, they're going to have to deal with him. But to me, it seems like a setup of a good horror book.
Well, and you said like, oh, well, this will make a good limited series. And I pointed out this isn't a limited series, though. Now, this being Marvel, they very well could make this a limited series.
They really should, because I don't see this having long legs past maybe six issues.
I think the fact that they have Eddie Brock there and they're pointing out they put something on him that lets them control the symbiote,
mm-hmm,
sort of tells you where this could go. And then the story is Carnage is working for the government, but he's a serial killer.
Damn, I didn't know he was married to She-Hulk.
He was?
Who was?
Yeah, they got divorced. John Jameson. He was married to She-Hulk in a divorce.
Oh, he couldn't deal with a wife stronger than him. So.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our next book, Darth Vader number 12, writer Karen Gillian, art by Salvador Lacaro.
The most important thing about this book is it's continuing to at least issue 15 because of this goddamn crossover that starts next.
And Vader down, and then it continues in Star Wars. And
It gave a full listing of the things, and I was shocked to discover that it continued in Darth Vader 13, 14, and 15.
This is one of those series that could have been a great 6-issue series, and then they cannibalize it to 12, and now it's going to be a continuing series.
I think the story has picked up now that they've got somewhere to go. And I like that we're not getting, like, you know, Vader down 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just going through the Star Wars books, which is fine because it'll have a connection to another Star Wars book. I'm okay with that. They haven't done it before, and we read that other book anyway. But Jesus, this series, it needed this. It needs a focus. It needs a story. Because we had like 5 issues where Vader was just dicking around and nothing was happening. At least now something is happening.
Yeah?
Yeah, and this issue, it's picks up immediately after last issue with, Banoff and Vader chasing the thief Dr. Aphra down on Anfan. And, you know, Vader, in an obvious attempt to cover his involvement with the theft, he tells him, we're wasting their time chasing a petty thief. So he says, well, we should abandon chasing her and move to destroy the rebel group known as the Plasma Devils. So they learned of the location of the rebels in the previous issue, and they decided to move in on their location after Vader convinces Fanoff that this is the right move. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you're right. You know, this is, you know, it's, cost analysis. You know, why chase down a thief that's, you know, it's whatever, you know, whatever. It's, she stole something, but, you know, what's more valuable, or that, or, you know, us taking out these rebels?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they obliterated the rebels, and, Teg approves of Vader's decision to move on the rebels. So everything got moved over, you know, cause Fanoff was like, you know, sorry we let him go, but they're like, you know, whatever, I understand why you did it. So they brought an end to the back and forth cat and mouse game with Vader and Fanoff.
Yeah.
At least it appears that way.
They are on the same team now.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll continue on.
Or if that's what the focus of Vader Down is gonna be.
It could be.
Oh, maybe he set him up. Like he knew him and he just intentionally stabbed him in the back.
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. With that said, it was a pretty good book, all things considered.
Yeah.
At the end of the issue, Vader responds to a message by Aphra, and he goes to her location where he chokes the information of Luke's whereabouts from her, but she convinces him to spare her since she can still prove useful, to which, you know, he's like, okay, you know, that's fine, stating that she better not make him regret it. And apparently Luke is on, you know, Vragas Voss at an old Jedi temple. And Vader's perplexed by this, as there's no known Jedi temple on this planet. So the issue concludes with Vader heading off to find Skywalker at the Jedi temple, a task that he says he must accomplish alone. I wonder if that's a trap. If there's no Jedi temple.
It's a trap! And it's one of those Admiral Akbar guys, right?
The
fish guy, yeah.
Aren't they called calamaris?
No way it's that on the nose.
I don't know about that.
I gotta look this up.
Like that sounds like something the internet would make up, but I wouldn't.
I want to again remind you that George Lucas is not a good writer.
This is true.
Okay, you're right. It's not exactly calamari. He is a Mon calamari. They put the word Mon in front of it,
so it's different,
which probably means the calamari
or the men calamari
and calamari.
Sounds legit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk into a book. I think, I don't know if Marvel, if you read this or not. Illuminati number 1, writer Joshua Williamson, art by Sean Crystal.
Yeah, I read it.
I liked this, but this book is going to get canceled.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Hood putting together a team of villains. And so far in this book, in this issue, he recruited, well, kind of. He recruited Titania, who doesn't want to be a supervillain anymore. The book opens with her meeting with observing man, which is her man, in prison. And she's like, okay, this time we're going to go, when you get out, we're going to go straight and we're not going to break any laws. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But he kind of fakes it off like, yeah, sure, honey. Yeah, that's what we'll do. She is working as a bodyguard at like a pawn shop.
Yeah, freaking She-Hulk hooked her up with a job.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. She-Hulk also offered to help her, but she absolutely refuses to take anything from She-Hulk.
Yeah, but then and then she's like, whatever. And then you can tell she took the help.
Well, because she's got no, she's a multiple time convicted supervillain. Like, yeah, people aren't going to hire her.
And she's got that little brace on her leg.
Yeah, she's not allowed to use her powers. Some guys attack the pawn shop, and of course she uses her powers or she would have died. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, just to show what a jobber she is, Iron Fist and Luke Cage are the ones who come to stop her.
And by the way, the jewelry guy also threw her under the bus, blamed her.
Oh yeah, he did. He said, he told them that she had her guys come in to rob the place. She's like, yes, my evil plan was beating up my own men and then not taking anything in an effort to rob your store. But they, of course, don't really believe her, and there's a fight. She does kind of own Iron Fist and Luke Cage. By the way, again, jobbers.
There was this one scene I absolutely love with Iron Fist where he's going to unload the Iron Fist on her. And obviously you see the big dragon in the background, but because she's so strong, she stops it. And you see in the background, the dragon's like, aw.
That was good. No, the art in this book was fine. But the Hood shows up and he teleports her out. Gives her his plan. But the Hood secretly is still a bad guy.
Yeah, because he orchestrated all of this. Like they cut to all the guys in jail. And then the Hood pops up and he's like, I can't have you, getting out and telling her what happened. And he shoots him dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So they make very clear that the Hood is in fact a bad guy. But I guess the follow up issues will be, we'll get what, like one issue on each of the villains in the team, probably.
Yeah. I can't be bothered to list it every single one of them. I think there's Black Ants in there.
It's Titania, Mad Thinker, Thunderball, Black Ant, and the Enchantress.
Wow. What a list of winners there.
It's not a huge team, so there's only going to be, you know, four issues of that. And then we'll probably get an issue on the Hood. And then we'll have our team. It's an interesting premise. It feels like a miniseries. And this is not going to... I find it incredibly hard to believe that people will buy this.
Yeah.
So it's probably...
I think that's why they called it the Illuminati. They thought they were going to get the Reed Richards and the...
that's the thing, too, with the problem with this group. It's, you go from Reed Richards, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, to a bunch of C-list villains.
I think that's good, actually, because it's a completely different thing. Like, you don't want to rehash, especially in all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, but to make them, to call them the Illuminati, though, like, why can't it just be a bunch of, like, random supervillains working together?
Because the Hood has delusions of grandeur.
But so, even he can't say the Mad Thinker is on par with Black Bolt.
However, if the book is done correctly, they will make these characters more than they were before.
To me, this book comes off as a more serious version of Superior Foes.
It's not even that much more serious. It is more serious than that because it's not 100% a comedy book, but there is a lot of comedy in this.
So they try to be serious. Remember, like, they showed how she's struggling. They show how, like, she's living on a freaking mattress.
Yeah. And none of the stuff with the Hood was.
And about how she's like, oh, you know what it's like to have these powers and know you can, there's all this temptation of stealing money all around you and you can't do it.
No, it was good. It was good character work on her part, and that's why I think the future issues with the other villain. I'm only assuming they're doing that, but I don't see why they wouldn't. I think they'll be good too.
I wonder if this Black Ant is the LMD Eric O'Grady or the actual Eric O'Grady.
I have no idea who the Black Ant is.
It was in that book. I think it was. Remember that one? It was years ago. It was like Secret Avengers.
Well, I didn't read it.
The one that had like Venom on the team.
Yeah, it's a black evil ant, and it's, what's his name? It is O'Grady, but I don't know if it's still O'Grady. In fact, I think they brought up the fact that he may be dead.
Well, yeah. Is Titania gonna be the only one who doesn't want to be a bad guy then?
I don't know. Maybe. We haven't heard from the other people.
And that's a good dynamic in the sense that that's your focal character, and that's the character you sort of identify with because she doesn't want to be full evil.
And Enchantress, I don't think she cares because she's a fucking, you know,
evil god. And I do think it's a mistake if he's trying to trick everyone putting the Mad Thinker on the team. Because he's kind of an evil genius. Like, he might figure it out. But, you know, whatever.
Okay. Good enough book. I look forward to reading it, but like you said, I don't think it has legs, and it's a book that probably very quickly would get canceled.
I just don't think it does because of sales. I just don't see it selling.
No, you're right.
That's all.
You're absolutely right. All right, let's move on to our next book. A book that I'm sure is actually selling pretty good. Maybe not as well as it used to. Secret Wars, number 7, writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Usad Ribic.
I'm over this series, man.
Yeah, it's really going long in the tooth. And this, I mean, to
his credit, this was a fight. Like, pretty much the entire issue was just a fight. And, you know, the artist is really good, so it was an enjoyable fight. But the wind was taken out of this series' sails when they relaunched the Marvel Universe before it ended.
And the fact that it's just taking forever for this stuff to come out.
Yeah, we still got 2 more issues of this. 2 more issues. One of them's I believe issue 9 they said was going to be an epilogue. So technically Secret Wars is going to end.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if issue 7 this week, and then I think what was that issue where nothing happened? Issue 5. Those were instances of them watering down. I think issue 9 is going to be just the way it was supposed to end.
Well, no, they specifically said it was an epilogue.
Yeah, but they could be just saying that to drum up sales. I think we're specifically talking about, I think it was supposed to end. I think the ending in 9 is supposed to be the original.
I don't think so, because to drum up sales, you wouldn't say this is what happens after the end. You would say this is the new end.
Well,
they're pretty much saying the story's going to end in 8. That's the one
you want them
read.
To come out and say, oh, we decided to stretch this out because it was selling really well.
No, I think they were honest on that. I think they said that, you know, Hickman had one more thing he wanted to do, so we gave him an issue to do it. But they did clearly say it's an epilogue.
Yeah, because it's ending in 9, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was the issue they added. So
I don't think 9 is going to be an epilogue. I think 8 is going to be just more of the continuation of the story, and 9 is going to be.
I don't know, because this was big giant battle, and they can't. I mean, presumably, big giant battle continues.
Okay. But like I said, we just had more battling. We had the reveal of who the prophet was, which both you guys had forgot. But you know what? At the same time, I don't blame you because they just introduced the character last issue.
They mentioned them in some of the other books in passing, but I never thought about it. I was like, oh yeah, there was something about a prophet that they mentioned.
Well, so it was basically Maximus was going around telling everyone Doom wasn't God to build up an army.
And here I thought, oh, it's going to be someone like Val who stabs him in the back and it's going to really hurt Doom. You know, because
this story wise, this makes sense though, because we haven't seen a ton of what the Cabal was doing.
Yeah, and they, like the, all the superheroes were scattered across Battleworld. So it makes sense that Maximus would be, you know, eventually he'd take up, you know, he'd try to rally everyone against Doom.
He might have died in this too.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, he got taken down by a bunch of,
yeah, well, here's the thing too. Even if he died,
it doesn't matter.
Poor Secret Wars, they're gonna bring him back.
Yeah,
Strange is dead. Cyclops is dead.
Yeah, they could kill everyone in this book, and it wouldn't matter.
The Barons are all choosing sides. Doors arrive. Maestro arrives, but though his decision isn't 100% clear,
I love
to be able to reason with the Marvel zombies and prepare to send.
That was awesome. That was the best part of this book. So Black Panther is talking to Namor. And Namor kind of makes fun of him. He's like, you know, this whole King of the Dead thing, it's kind of vague. And it doesn't really mean anything. You should probably stop using it. So Black Panther blows a hole in the wall, and then he starts ordering the Marvel zombies around. And they're like, I still want to eat brains, but I feel like I have to listen to him.
He's all, here's this siege in Perilous. He's like, if you go through, it will change you from being a zombie into what you were supposed to be. And most of them seem like they're kind of on board, but the MODOK specifically is vocal. He's like, I don't know. I kind of like where I'm at. I like eating people. And then Namor stabs him with his trident. He's like, so what do you guys say? And he's like, for glory.
Yeah. Now can he, because I wasn't sure. Can he control them because he is the king of the dead, or can he control them because he has the Infinity Gauntlet?
I think it may be a little bit of both.
Okay. Because I got the sense it's because he's the king of the dead, and they are right. They haven't really done anything with that.
Well, in the sense that we saw before, he's the king of the dead, in the sense that we've seen previous issues that, you know, whenever he needs a console, he can go to the other Panthers, all the dead Panthers.
Well,
there is a moment here where you can see the Black Panther can once again see his ancestors. Mm-hmm. Remember they kind of disowned him after the stuff.
Oh, because he didn't want to blow up that one world. Yeah, and like, yeah, you have to do it to save Wakanda above all else.
Well, and his sister was the Black Panther then.
Yeah, but he was the king of the dead in the sense that he was the representative of all the Panthers that had passed.
No, but the Black Panther can talk to his ancestors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not just him.
Oh, okay, my mistake.
So, yeah.
But I didn't even notice that, Marvel, that they showed the ancestors in the background as well.
I'm glad that God Doom brought in the spirits of the dead Black Panthers to battle world.
Well, he has the Infinity Gauntlet now, so he can pretty much undo whatever Doom has done.
All right, well, yeah, so this series is going to do quite a lot for Black Panther, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's getting a new book.
Yeah, because they chose to give him the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, like, since issue one of New Avengers, he's been the focal character, so.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, yeah, this issue was just a fight, and we saw all the various factions working together against Doom, and why Doom hasn't just squashed all this with his god powers, I'm not entirely sure. Hang on.
I think, what was it, Doom was preoccupied, right, Marvel? Didn't somebody recently betray him? I forgot who it was now. Because he's had so many betrayals.
So I don't remember.
he did make mention that all this is going on. I'll just let it work itself out, and then God Doom will come in and clean up.
My favorite scene in this entire book was when Sinister was talking to Apocalypse. He's like, "Come on, Apocalypse, join our side." And Apocalypse is like, "No." And then he wipes his head off, completely clean off his shoulders. And then Sinister's like, "Okay, I changed my mind. I'll side with you guys again." And he's like, "No, you made your choice already."
It's like Apocalypse carried around Sinister's head.
I know.
Also, I liked Sinister shooting Madeline Pryor for having a trashy outfit. The one thing Secret Wars did was it made me really want to read Hickman writing Sinister.
Yeah, because
he's such like a douchebag. I love him.
He's the what's called? He's the chicken shit heel.
Yeah, but he's also the overly arrogant heel.
Yeah,
I like him. I like him a lot when Hickman writes him.
And then even when Apocalypse is holding his head, he's like, "What happened to you, man? You used to be cool."
That was good. No, it was a fun issue with lots of fighting. So that's, you know, that's fine. But ready for this to end, because we've already had the relaunch. There have been, you know, a lot of good stuff so far. I don't really need to see anything else unless I learn, like, what happens to Reed.
Yeah.
Which is the only mystery that they're still.
Yeah, Reed. Well, we know Doom makes it out, but then we also seen Susan may not make it out as well. I mean, the family and the kids.
Yeah, the Richards family is still unaccounted for.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our next book, Spider-Gwen number 2, writer Jason Latour, art by Robbie Rodriguez.
The best-selling Spider-Gwen.
This didn't particularly advance this ongoing story of the Sinister Lizardmen, but we got a lot of backstory and a nice little origin story of Samantha Wilson, the Captain America of this world.
Yes, because we needed, you know, it's an alternate reality, so we need other superheroes.
Yeah, and she has a sidekick who is Sam 13, who apparently is a clone of some sort, and he's the Falcon.
He's kind of a dick,
but he's kind of cool in the sense that he just doesn't fly around and talk to birds. He actually does serve a purpose. He uses his flight to, or she uses his flight to go up to high places and snipe.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of creepy because he looks like a little kid, but he's holding a gun and he's like, "Come on, let me shoot him. Let me shoot him." That was a little weird.
And then Cap is there to say, "You are just for backup. I'm going to do the dirty work. And if I need you for backup, that's when you come in.
Don't shoot anyone yet." And
he's like, if I thought I'd go into this to be a superhero, I thought it'd be, you know, busting heads.
And he's like, "If I see a white Girl Scout, I'm going to fucking shoot her in the head."
Wow.
He doesn't care. What? You got to have connections to the Marvel Universe.
I'm going to get a rolled up newspaper and bop you on the nose like a dog. Just shove your face in it like a dog.
Well, the difference between him and normal Falcon, as we know so far, is he's younger and he has a gun.
Yes.
And he's so not what Cap kind yet. Of choice would he have to make with Girl Scouts? Huh? There you go. See, you assume racism, but I'm just going along with what Marvel's doing.
Oh, yes, because I haven't learned from history with you.
Oh, well. It's all right. I love all the peoples of the world, except the Eskimos.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Fucking Inuits. I don't even remember what happened in this book.
That was a lot of it. Also, her dad talked to Uncle Ben. It's like, oh, it wasn't actually Spider-Woman who killed him. I'm looking for the real killer. He's still out there.
Like OJ.
Yeah. I mean, really, OJ's like I said, there wasn't a whole lot happened. A lot of it was, the bulk of it was the origin story.
Yeah.
Indeed it was.
Yeah, this should have been Lightning Round.
Yeah, now that we think about it, it's like, this is something we probably should have bumped up. Oh, well. Yeah. All right, yeah. Move on to our next book, Spider-Man 2099, writer Peter David, art by Will Snyder.
Okay, so we got it confirmed. Miguel would have killed someone.
Yes.
But he didn't have a chance. Like, he didn't stop because he's a good guy. He was ready to choke this dude out and murder him.
Yep.
But we also found out at the end, which, by the way, this makes me question Miguel's intelligence. She's not dead.
Or she's in a coma at least. But
she's not dead.
You know why I kind of suspected this? And the reason why I suspected this was because if you see in the first issue, Peter doesn't seem at all distraught when he says, oh, she's dead. And he seems all calm and cool and collective. I'm like, there's something going on. I think what happened was the mom ordered Peter, I don't want him anywhere near here. So they lied to Miguel. Ooh.
And Peter had no idea what he would do.
Yeah.
Really, Peter Parker, the guy who has either given up being Spider-Man or decided to let his dark side take over about 87 times in his character history, thought it would be a good idea to lie to Miguel and say, hey, your pregnant girlfriend got murdered.
Here's why I think that. All up until this point, you got to remember, Miguel was this cool, calm, and collective guy. He was happy-go-lucky. He didn't want to have anything to do with being a Spider-Man. So he thought, well, maybe he'll just sink into depression and just get over it. He is that dumb.
Peter Parker is an idiot. That's a horrible thing to do.
This has
someone.
Been established. Peter Parker,
also,
not the smartest
Miguel,
guy.
Miguel, you don't like go and use your spider powers to like sneak in and look at the body or anything. You just apparently he was told she's dead, automatically believed this, left the hospital, and just went on a
maybe trying to find someone
to kill.
Well, maybe he just believed it. He didn't bother like trying to see the body and this and that. Because you know, for all you know, they could have taken it to the morgue or who knows what. Because the mom was there. She talked to Miguel and she's like, oh, it's your fault that she's dead and this and that. So.
Well, he'll probably try to kill people a couple more times, something will interrupt it, and then he'll find out she's alive. And
I imagine he lost a baby.
Well, probably. So
or
he'd
did
still
they?
Be mad, but, you know.
Apparently, the Kronos was, Dr. Kronos was working for some people called the Fist. And they're the ones behind everything, so.
He tried to get Miguel to drink acid coffee.
Well, yeah, he drank it just fine because, you know, he's more robot than machine. He's like, here, Miguel, come on, just drink it. And he's like, I don't want it. And he slaps it out of his hand. And it, you know,
and
obviously
then
the drink's
through the floor. That was funny.
He saw, did
and
you
he's like,
just, he's like, did you not trust me that the thing wouldn't kill you? He's like, no, I just didn't care about it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want coffee.
No, he's like, oh, you didn't think, didn't he say something about the spider sense? Oh, your spider sense or something?
Yeah, it wasn't a spider sense. He just didn't want coffee. So he was saved by not being a caffeine addict.
Well, maybe he is, but he just didn't want his shit.
How often do you take coffee from the guy who murdered your unborn child and girlfriend?
Yeah.
Not often, I would think.
Not as often as you think.
Yeah, but he did, you know, he got the webbing and he wrapped it around his neck and he was ready to either choke the guy out to death or decapitate him. They indicated decapitation was coming.
Yes.
But he kind of fought him off.
Yeah, but he got killed by, like, apparently there were some strings being cut by, by scissors, and that ended up killing him.
Yeah, this would be the fist guys, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Which was a weird thing. He's not speaking metaphorically. They literally showed scissors and a string.
A red string.
Yeah, and they literally showed the string being cut, and then he died. So, I don't know what that means. We have a group of villains, though.
Yeah.
Indeed we do.
They're hiding out in the shadows somewhere.
Yeah, we don't know anything about them, but they are there.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to our next book, Ultimates number 1, writer Al Ewing, art by Kenneth Rocafort.
I told Marvel, I thought of all the new team books, this one as a team book was probably the strongest. Mm-hmm. Because we got almost the entire team in this. We got what makes them different. We got what they're going to be doing. We saw their headquarters. We saw their little mode of transportation. We got some insight into all the characters. This was a very successful team book.
This is how this and Avengers is how you write a number one team book.
But they were done totally differently.
Yeah.
Because Avengers is taking the slow team building aspect. This opened up with them already a team.
Yeah.
But it like explained what the team would be doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying for future reference when we obviously read another team book and you're like, "Ah, Fat Man, you just don't get how you're supposed to write team books." I'm like, "No, we've read two good team books and they're done completely different and they were both still good and this is how you should do it."
Yes, these are both good, and I really hope this isn't hurt by the fact it's called Ultimates.
Yeah, no shit. This is a name that will hurt it more than help it.
Because that has the negative. Now, maybe the fact that it's Ultimates in the Marvel Universe will help, but this was a very good first issue. It had a good hook at the end. Just to jump to that, the hook at the end was, you know, their thing is, you know, solving the big problems. So they go to talk to Galactus, and he's like, "I'm going to eat you in my tummy." And they're like, "Well, wait a minute now. The Ultimates, we're supposed to be solving the big problems, and you're one of the big problems. So let's talk." So they're not fighting Galactus; they're talking to him. Now,
yeah. Black Panther apparently is the king of Wakanda again, because they mentioned that in this book.
Yeah, and he's one of the leaders of this team. This team is spread out. There's a ground team, and then there's the team in outer space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if that's permanent or not. They didn't really indicate that. But then they also have, like, a political wing. Yeah.
Wakanda and the U.S. are working together at the Triskelion, which also houses a new Wakandan embassy to the U.S.
Yeah, which we have that now in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, they're sharing intelligence, but not military secrets, according to T'Challa. And Panther tells the UN Secretary General that the Ultimates are there to deal with the largest problems, which, like I said, starting with Galactus. So Spectrum and Miss America are off fighting something they were sent to retrieve. And, you know, that's kind of the stuff that's going on in space, too.
It opened up with Blue Marvel explaining the multiverse, kind of.
Yeah.
The new multiverse.
Speaking of which... I remember I told you I've been reading the, what's that shit called? Champions?
Uh-huh.
They brought up, in the second issue, there was something brought up about, the Collector had this thing about the multiverse and this little, and it gives some sort of power. I'm not sure exactly what it was. I think that's how they, remember how in, when they relaunched, Guardians and, what's her name? Gamora didn't have her power anymore?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they took it away in that book, because she has the power in that book. It's the 6161. I think she gets depowered in that.
Oh, okay. So it is an important book.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, something's going to happen. And I suspect that the Maestro in that book is the Maestro from Secret Wars.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, maybe I should try to read it, though. Darn. Oh, well.
What's the name of this book again, for everybody listening?
What's that?
Game of Champions?
Contest of Champions.
Oh, Contest of Champions.
Okay, but back to Ultimates. Also, me and Marvel had this discussion because, Blue Marvel, who is, old and very traditional, had pointed out that he's not really for, some of these other teams, like what his son is doing. And since I'm a racist, I said, "His son is Power Man?" Because he was the only black character I could think of.
Well, that too. I was like, who could be his son?
But as it turns out, we did some research because neither me nor Marvel were really that familiar with this character. He has two sons. One of them's a bad guy. One of them's not a bad guy, but they're both scientists. So our presumption was, they might work for AIM.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool.
But Secret Wars, they could have retconned it all so that Power Man is a son. It's not going to be a focus of this issue because the Ultimates are now presented at a much higher level than the New Avengers, which, by the way, interesting choice to make. These guys are positioned as being more important than all the Avengers teams.
Well, they've got government backing. They've got the U.S. and Wakanda.
And they're dealing with the big problems.
Yeah, the big giant problems and stuff. Like, remember when Nick Fury was talking to Bucky Barnes about, I deal with the stuff that no one else deals with in space? They're basically doing that.
Yeah.
Well, not the wet work stuff, but they're dealing with big problems like Galactus.
Well, and they also indicated they'd be dealing with threats from the multiverse.
Yes.
Which, so, basically it was a good team book, and it's a good setup that they're opening it up to absolutely anything if they're involving the multiverse. And it's, it's a good cast of characters. They have some young people on there, but then they have some established people. Powers-wise, it works out because they got, Blue Marvel's a big heavy hitter. Captain Marvel is binary in this.
Yeah, she made herself binary.
I don't know if that's going to be permanent or if she... Isn't that going to be confusing if she just keeps switching back and forth now?
Well, I think that's the way it's been for a while now.
I think she's turned binary every now and then. It's just, it's a certain state she's in, but she still calls herself Captain Marvel, so it doesn't matter.
Binary's a cooler design.
Let me look this up.
But Miss America, I don't know why she's on the team. Is she that strong?
Because this is a continue of Mighty Avengers and...
Okay, I guess.
But she wasn't on the Mighty Avengers team, was she?
No, she wasn't, but you need X amount of black characters on this book.
She's not black.
She's not?
No.
No.
She's Hispanic.
She is?
Yes.
Yes.
America Chavez?
Oh, yeah.
You see what she looks like? She doesn't look black, dude.
Oh, I thought she was a black... Oh, I'm thinking of Dr. Spectrum. I'm sorry.
Spectrum is black.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were getting to a post racial where Lero can look past color.
Okay. They had to replace White Tiger, though. So, isn't she...
She's on the New Avengers, but yeah.
Yeah, but she was on the Mighty Avengers, right?
Yeah,
true.
She was.
Okay, there you go. They had to replace her, so they had to get another young female who is Hispanic.
Let's move on before you hear...
She's also gay.
Before you incriminate yourself anymore.
She checks three boxes, dude.
Female, gay, and...
Female, gay, and a minority.
Yeah.
What is that? Squadron Sinister.
Yeah, I know. Marvel.
Nothing. I really liked Ultimates.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Squadron Sinister, number 4, writer Mark Guttenham, art by Carlos Pacheco.
So Nighthawk kills Hyperion.
Thanks, Marvel.
Fairly early on, really.
Yeah, that was like the first.
And by the way, he kills him because he just doesn't like him.
Yeah, that was
he's
motivated.
Arrogant.
Yeah, he's like, you were too arrogant, so I had to kill you. which is amazing motivation. It makes sense.
The Utopian Star Brands attempt to take over Utopolis after his death. Because Nighthawk is put on trial for the death of a door in Utopia. Because he's put to trial. Remember, there was a door that got killed. But there was no... because, he had covered his tracks. There was no conclusive evidence that he had killed him. So he was found not guilty on those charges. But yet all these other charges that they brought up were still pending. It's like, oh, well, what are you talking about? And apparently Warrior Woman testified against him.
Yeah, they just brought her out, and he's like, oh, shit.
So this
I knew I should have killed her.
And he's sentenced to be banished beyond the shield.
But he had his Batman moment beyond the shield, where they drop him down and all the Ultrons are there, and he's like, bring it, fuckers. doesn't matter anyway, because he's going to be a good guy with a different costume when they bring it back.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Star Brands are establishing a new government, but the citizens don't trust the new occupiers. And then they mentioned, the devil is better than the angel you don't.
Yeah, apparently they don't want a baron.
No.
Which they won't have, because Doom is going to be busy until the end of the world, which is approaching shortly.
Yes.
This does nothing to set up for the Squadron Supreme book.
No, this is just a one-off type.
Yeah, we're not even getting the same versions of the characters. We're getting different versions of the characters.
Well, we're getting the original Hyperion that we've had before, but everybody else
But he's not... The whole thing with Squadron Supreme is they're not going to be outright evil. They're not a group of supervillains like they were in this.
No.
But they're also a group of heroes who positions themselves above the law.
Yeah, which would be interesting.
Which I guess all heroes actually do, because they're vigilantes, technically, and that's not legal. So it's just the cops and Marvel are kind of okay with it. Unless you shoot people.
Like the Punisher.
Well, and even then, some of the cops are okay with it.
So. Alright. Did you guys read Uncanny Avengers?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Uncanny Avengers number 2, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Ryan Stegman.
It was better than the first issue.
Yeah.
It still does nothing with the premise. But it was better than
the
first issue.
Is it any good?
The fact that you have to think it, is long. It was a little good. It wasn't great. The big reveal in this is, in the future, due to what's going on, the world is going to be fucked. So Cable... Future Cable, pre-coming back in time Cable, comes back in time to help the Avengers save the world.
And you know what, though? I wonder if this is going to be the replacement of the old Cable.
Well, this is Cable's first appearance in the new Marvel, so it might.
Because this is... It was like something like 70 years in the future?
Yeah, well, it's Cable's time. And, I mean, they sort of kept the old continuity active because he's like, oh, Strife's going to have to wait. We got to go back now, which is good because I don't really need to see a rehash of Cable fighting evil Cable. Don't need that. And I don't think we're going to get X-Man either now. X-Man might be gone in Secret Wars. Which is a shame, by the way, because when he was the shaman of the mutant race, that was a very good run that did not get enough love. Better than anything Cable ever did. Just say. But yeah, that was your big reveal in this. The guy who's turning people into plants or whatever the fuck he's doing. He was winning, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And Cable's coming to save them.
You know, I didn't even write notes on this. I completely forgot about this book. We probably should have made this lightning round, too.
Well, that's pretty much what happened. I just want to get across that this was better than the first issue.
Okay. I wish... So should I have read it? Is that the underlining question?
I'm going to read the next issue.
Wow. For you who's hated Uncanny Avengers for the longest time, the fact that you're going to keep reading it.
Well, because it's different now. It's not building to a big crossover or anything. And it's not dealing with any of Rick Remender's stories from 5 years before the book. So.
Maybe I'll give it a try. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't great. I ain't putting it over as great. I'm just saying it improved from the first issue. So theoretically, the third issue could improve again.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our next book.
I still think the art sucks, though, by the way.
I don't like the art a whole lot. I don't. A lot of people find this art horribly offensive.
I've read issue 1. It's not that. It's not great, but it's not offensive.
Yeah, I would say it's average art.
Whatever. All right, let's move on to our next book. A book that I thought I wasn't going to like, but I absolutely love. Web Warriors number 1, writer Mike Costa, art by David Baldwin.
I knew I was going to love this, and I loved it.
Oh, so good. Do yourself a favor if you haven't already. Pick up this week's Web Warriors number 1. So great. So fun.
Yeah, it opens with our team, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man UK, Spider-Man from India.
Spider-Noir.
Spider-Man Noir, and
Anya.
Anya, which is the Spider-Woman nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Oh, and May Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Girl.
Spider-Girl, yeah.
Yeah, so that's our team, and they're in a Spider-Man comic.
1960s
or cartoon. pointing out that it's kind of awesome here because all the villains are defeated in one punch.
And you don't feel pain.
Yeah, there's no pain. And when you hit them, like a little bang thing pops up. And also he's like, hey, I shot my web at this guy and it turned into a net. This place is awesome.
My favorite part is when they came up with the Spider-Man meme.
Oh yeah, him and sitting in the seat.
Behind. Oh yeah, he was just sitting at the desk and then he comes out and gives a thumbs up.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, cause the Spider-Man from this world did nothing to help. And then they come out, the art completely changes. They come out and they're in the old home of the Inheritors where, that guy, the Inheritor who turned good.
Yeah.
Is working the web for them. He's working the web for them, and we find out they're there. And Spider-Man UK, since this world was destroyed, is really into this mission of going across the multiverse and saving Spider-Man. Or if that's even what they're doing, I think that's what they're doing.
They're trying to help the worlds that don't have a Spider-Man.
Okay, but this world had a Spider-Man. They pointed out they were just there for training.
Yeah.
But everybody else we find is not quite as into this thing as him because they all have worlds they can go home to. He does not. So he's really got nothing else. Meanwhile, Spider-Gwen and,
the May.
It's May Parker are sitting in a Egypt world.
Yes.
Like a world where Egypt was the dominant force and, you know, they're eating and then an Electro attacks. So they get in a fight and Gwen gets knocked out. When she gets knocked out, May gets taken by the Electro and taken back to the Electro's base because as it turns out, the Electros from all the different worlds have gotten together and they can also travel through the multiverse.
Nice.
So they're presenting the Web Warriors against the Electros.
See, now I was worried going forward what kind of premise this book would have. But now that you literally unlock the multiverse and you can do anything with any other character, and specifically they're going to do something with Electro across the multiverse, it's like, well, damn, you could do anything now.
Yeah, but that's what this was always going to be. The only thing is they kind of put a restriction on themselves because it's anything across the multiverse, but it's probably always going to be at least somewhat Spider-Man related.
See, I thought they were going to be stuck in 616. I'm like, oh, okay, they're just a team of Spider-Man in 616. I guess that's something, but...
Electro mentioned the Doc Ox doing research on the spiders too, so.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point of all the Doc Ox doing research if you guys are gonna read the packets?
Well, and there's no one in this book from the 616.
Let's see, now that I think about it. No, you're right, these are all people from Elseworld dimensions.
Yeah, so, there's really no reason at all for them to connect to it.
There's a backup story with Lady Spider. She's meeting up with a Black Cat of her world.
Yeah, and that was neat too. That was done by a different artist, and I think they're probably going to do this every issue. So what they do is we have a bit with the team, and then we have a backup story featuring one of the spider people, probably that we saw in Spider-Verse. So they could do two stories at once, and these backups can constantly change. Like, they could run out the story with the steampunk Spider-Woman, and then they could do a story about, like, cartoon Spider-Man or something if they want, and they can just keep changing
it. Or Peter Porker or Spider-Man Noir.
I don't think they do it with them. Oh. I think the main book is going to be used for those characters, and then the backups are going to be used for the other characters who aren't on the team. Because we saw a lot of Spider-Men during Spider-Verse. So they got stories forever with this.
Remember the Mecha Spider-Man?
Oh, the Japanese one, yeah.
Well, his mech got destroyed though, didn't it?
No, they put it back together.
Oh, okay.
Alright. And okay. So to round out this week's books, we're gonna have Imperium number 10, art by Joshua Dysart, art by, and it's always by Imperium, it's C-A-F-U, Safu.
Hey, Imperium was good again.
Yes. Yeah, I read about half of it and then I ran out of time. And from what I read, it was okay. But you guys put it over huge.
This new story arc is a winner. Fat Man is wrong.
The story reveals the beginnings of the decades-long hostilities between Harada and the vine plantings on Earth. I had no idea what the vine were. I didn't know they were aliens.
Yeah, Yeah, let me point out again, this is another book that we suffer from for not having read Harbinger.
Yes.
Which is happening more and more. But I think they did a pretty good job of explaining it. The Vine are aliens. They are not necessarily good, but there are people who are descended from the Vine on Earth who are all a part of this, this hive mind. And the Vine themselves, like the head Vine, they don't really have any interest in these losers from the boonies on Earth.
Yeah, even when they bring up Harada, they're like, oh, okay, so an Earthling has better than average mental powers. Big deal.
Yeah, they do not care at all. This book, as Imperium often does, puts over Harada huge as the most threatening man on Earth. I don't know how long they're going to hold off a big crossover where everybody has to fight Harada.
It's probably coming.
Yeah, but I mean, I like where the story is going. I don't want them to end it, but you run the risk of if you keep building him up to be this threatening. And, you know, as the book goes on, he's getting a bigger and bigger, like, place on the world stage. They're going to have to deal with him eventually.
Yeah.
And they just haven't yet.
But that's going to be something down the line that's
going to
be fun.
We don't know about it.
Apparently they have some sort of new secret weapon they finally got from their home world because after begging, because remember they put together plans, they put together political plans and, you know, media plans and, you know, forces against him. You know, like they had four different forces against him, you know, to work against him.
Yeah.
And none of it was working. So finally, like, look, we need some help. And then finally, like, well, okay, 1600 years ago when we first went or whatever it was, 1400, I think it was, 1450. That's how long they've been on the planet.
We buried this shit.
Yeah. And it's some sort of fucking cocoon looking thing. And I'm not even sure what it is.
No, we don't know yet because they didn't reveal it. But, you know, they did show that, you know, this dig to find it had to be secretive.
Yes, so they created fake digs around the world while they secretly dug wherever. I don't know where were they. Where they found the actual thing?
They were in Korea. They were like on the DMZ.
Yeah, South Korea and the DMZ.
Yeah, so he did show up there, but he showed up a little too late. Harada and his original team had gone on and murdered all the other teams.
Yeah,
Harada does not like the Vine. Yeah, and he did some terrible things. They showed why they don't like him. What he did was it was during Vietnam. He just kind of rolls through and he notices there's two people there and he can't, like they said, he comes off as, they read different to him. Mm-hmm. So he knew there was something going on to him. So he basically captures one of the guys, tortures the shit out of him, cuts his fucking brain open.
Oof.
Keeps him alive while he does this, but since they're connected to the collective, pretty much all the Vine people, they saw this happening as it was happening. Like Harada fucking torturing this guy. And basically dedicating himself to killing all of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't really explain why, except he's Harada and he's evil.
Please get inside.
I can't right now, Jack's yelling.
Oh, okay. Whatever, it stopped.
Okay. Continue.
Yeah, so he tortures this guy to death in front of, well, sort of in front of all the Vine. And that's when, you know, they decided we have to set up these measures against him, but they'd all failed. They have the super weapon now. We don't know what it's gonna do. Meanwhile.
The woman who was kinda like telling the story about this. She hadn't even been in the Vine in years, you know, like in the little your hive mind.
Yeah.
Apparently she's like the big leader, I guess.
Yes, that was the indication.
The ones on Earth, because remember, they're all over the galaxy. It's just, this is their, the Earth, group. I'm wondering how the hell they went from like having six eyes and looking like some weird looking things to humans.
Well, maybe it was like a Kree thing where they like genetically inserted.
Yeah, that's what I got the impression of. It's very similar to the Inhumans.
Well, because we have one of the Vine in the book.
Uh-huh.
he's on Harada's team. Well, he's not on Harada's team anymore.
Yeah, was that Lord Vine?
He's locked up now, and he was made out to be fairly threatening and creepy in this.
Yes.
Cause, like, they got him in the cage, and he's basically describing what he's gonna do to Harada. And he's, like, just making clicking noises. Which I assume is chewing. But, that was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So we got him too. And the thing is, the Vine Collective, they're not presented as bad guys because Harada's a bad guy. But, Lord Vine, he is definitely a bad guy because all he talks about is killing and eating people and murder. So he's bad. And even the other real Vine, they're not really presented this way. Like, they're creepy looking, but they're more like, scientist types. So I don't know what's wrong with this guy, but he's creepy. Harada's going to have to kill him eventually.
Probably.
Which wouldn't be hard because Harada's god powers and this guy, you know, he's an alien, but.
Sounds legit.
Not quite as threatening. So yeah, we're moving ahead with this. The two parts of the story are Harada and the Vine and then Harada and the world's governments who are terrified of him.
They're teasing that what's his name? The Mech Major Mech or what? Mech Major?
Sunflower, something
like
that?
Sunlight on Snow is what
Sunlight on the Snow.
Great name, by the way.
Which he had to correct someone again when they called him Major Mech.
Yeah. It looks like he's not long for the world soon.
Well, he showed weakness. He saved that woman.
Yeah.
Because he wanted a friend.
And that woman is in the collective, the high giving intelligence.
Well, hey, without that guy though, that guy is like Harada's defense against their Psyot dampeners that everybody has now.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of him, I don't know what he'd do. He'd either have to get a normal human or another robot. Robots don't seem to be overly common in the Valiant universe.
No, they do not. Well, they have Betamax.
And, Ginger.
Marvel laughs because he remembers that story.
But Ginger's a good guy.
I remember Ginger.
Ginger is the Unity's big.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah, the big giant alien mech. So, yeah, this storyline continues. I still want to see where it's going. I like this book.
Yeah, this is one of those books that after we do the show, because we're doing the show Sunday night, I may try to read it before Wednesday. So I feel like, so when we do the next review of Imperium, I don't have to play catch up.
Yeah, and you would. This was like a big story dump. So.
Well, I read about half of it. That's how I was able to contribute a little bit, but yeah, I didn't have time to finish.
Yeah, you probably want to finish it.
Okay. I think with all the way that's going to wrap up this week's books, let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, gentlemen, your picks.
Oof, it's a hard week.
I know, for me too. I'm torn between Web Warriors and Carnage. Those two I really liked.
I'm going with Ultimates.
I will go with what's it called? The shit we just finished.
Imperium?
Imperium.
Whoa! Imperium. So from not even wanting, for me, not even reading it to your book of the week. Wow, that's amazing. I'm torn between.
That's because I'm amazing at picking books, by the way.
And I'm torn between. Okay, since you're good at picking books, since you deliberately picked out Carnage, I'm gonna pick that for my book of the week.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think Carnage was close to the best book.
I just thought it's a great setup for a great horror book, and I think that's a really good take. That's a really good way to write a Carnage book without it just being one-dimensional, just Carnage killing folks.
All right.
Let's move on to our final segment, next week's books. Okay, what do you guys have?
Are we reading Jughead, or did we decide not to read that?
I don't want to read it. Like, it was okay. It was a good book and all, but it wasn't that funny. And then we read, like, okay. we have one Archie book, so where are we going to go?
I was just checking.
Oh, okay.
All right, so moving forward, we have Astro City.
Hooray!
Hang on about a moment.
Astro City always delivers.
Clean Room 2.
Oh, this is going to be a great week.
That's a quick turnaround. Oh, we have another Vertigo book.
What is it? What's this one?
This one's got kind of a different print. Red Thorn number 1. I hate the cover.
Did you say Red Thor?
Red Thorn.
Oh, Red Thorn.
On the rain-soaked streets of Glasgow, a girl whose drawings somehow come to life has just stumbled across her one true love. And thousands of miles below those streets, an ancient demigod plots his escape from the prison where he's been held for nearly 2,000 years. Evil forces are at play, and no one is safe, as the legends of Scottish mythology collide with the modern world. Fans of Fables and the Sandman won't want to miss this riveting dark fantasy epic. However, on the cover, there's like an emo kid.
Oh.
With red hair.
No buys.
But, you know, I'll try it because I dedicated us to trying all the Vertigo books.
And there's not a lot of them, was there? There are five?
Six? No, there's going to be like eight, dude.
That's still not that bad, considering we already dropped one.
Well, since they only come out once a month, it's... Okay, gotta keep going,
gotta go fast!
Gotta go right now, gotta go. Do we read anything from IDW?
I'm sure we do, but I don't have the list in front of me.
We used to read that Star Trek Green Lantern until we just said screw it.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Huck number 1 is getting a lot of good reviews.
What's the name of this book?
How can it get good reviews?
Because it's Mark Miller.
But it's Mark Miller.
They had advanced reviews for like weeks now.
You said that about Jeff Loeb, so now anything's on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever, we'll try it. If it's about a surly douchebag, I'm not reading back.
What's it called, Marvel? Huck?
Huck.
Huck.
Okay, Huck. Rat Queens 13.
Yay!
Tokyo Ghost 3.
Hey, last issue was good.
Yeah, last issue was really good. I hated the first one.
Okay, Astonishing Ant-Man 2.
Oh, this is where we finally figure out what happened with girl.
Darling.
Yay! He broke up with her.
Oh, Black Knight 1.
Black Knight number 1.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a stack week.
Captain Communist Sam Wilson number 3.
Captain Communist, I like that.
Extraordinary X-Men number 2. Kanan number 8.
It's canon.
Canon.
Canon number 8. Then his name should be C-A-N-N-O-N.
It's way back when in the galaxy far, far away. That's how they spell it.
Mighty Thor number 1.
Ooh, about time.
Miss Marvel number 1. New Avengers number 3. We have a comedy Secret Wars book.
Ooh, I've seen that one. That one looks awesome. That one's by Hickman.
Secret Wars 2. It's by Various.
One of the writers on it.
And the art is by Various.
Have you seen the cover?
Yes, it's a cute cover.
Tell the people what the cover
is. Alright, you want to read
it? Yeah. Hell yeah, I want to read it.
I don't care.
A comedy book, so it's going to be tough. Okay, do we want to try Spider-Woman number 1?
I don't care.
No.
I'm not...
Put it down for me. I'll read it.
Damn it.
Star Wars number 12.
That's a quick turnaround, too.
Star Wars Vader Down number 1.
Vader Down. It's time! It's time!
Okay, we got Star Lord number 1, which I don't want to read.
Marvel will be the tiebreaker. I kind of want to read it.
I'll read it.
Okay. Uncanny Inhumans number 2.
Ooh.
Bloodshot Reborn number 8.
Yay.
Wrath of Eternal Warrior number 1.
Awesome.
With 97 variant covers.
I don't think you guys are going to want me to read how many books we have.
A lot.
You guys get mad. You might get mad.
Well, we had like, I read like 25 this week, so.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and rounding out this week's books, 22.
Well, like I said, I had 25 this week, so.
Yeah, it's considerably lighter, and there's a couple of books that you said straight up that you're not going to read, so.
And it's going to be lightning around some of this stuff, too.
Yeah, so, not too bad, all things considered.
So, boom.
All right. With that all the way. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.